I'm Mercedes.
And I'm Tash, and you're listening to episode 182 of Chat Disney. Welcome back to another episode of the Chat Disney podcast. And last week, if you tuned in, you will know that we spoke about our most overrated Disney movies. And this week, following on, we're going to be talking about the most underrated Disney films. So do make sure you listen to see how we both come up with our lists. And we will be finishing at the end of the episodes with a Q&A. But before we get into that, let's have a quick look at what has been happening in the world of Disney this week.
So kicking things off with some news from Walt Disney World, and this is potentially the best news ever, especially for anyone who is going to be visiting Walt Disney World this September, including myself, which I can finally say I'm going this month after 10 very long years. And the great news is the crowd levels at Magic Kingdom, Epcot and Hollywood Studios have been rapidly declining this past couple of weeks. Now, this is quite normal when kids start going back to school as fall is upon us, but it hasn't been normal for Walt Disney World over the pandemic, with crowd levels being an all-time high this year, even in low season. So I'm not quite sure what's driving this. Wait times are plummeting. It seems like Walt Disney World's become a bit of a ghost town, but if you are heading out there anytime soon, like myself, this is definitely music to my ears. And something else that is also music to my ears, honestly, it's like Walt up there is looking down upon us at the Chat Disney podcast and making all of our dreams come true. Fantasmic have been having some rehearsals over in Hollywood Studios. So Fantasmic has been closed since the beginning of the pandemic, and the Walt Disney Company did mention that they were going to be changing some of the show, which was why there was an extended closure. So if you're in Disneyland in California, you can watch Fantasmic now, not unfortunately in Walt Disney World. However, these rehearsals to me sound as though the show will be opening again very soon, which I have got all of my fingers and toes crossed for an opening date very soon. And we've seen some new Walt Disney World ears debut this past week as well. They're exactly the same as the Disneyland ears that debuted a couple of years ago, the pale blue ones that had the little Disneyland sign, but they are navy blue and they have a little Walt Disney World sign.
And heading over to Disneyland Paris for some news this week. And November the 12th, put it in your diaries. Christmas comes early to Disney, and that is going to be the start of the festive season this year. So if you are planning to go from mid-November, then you are in luck, because you can expect to see the tree and the other festivities that they have going on. And it's a very quiet news week this week, because that pretty much sums everything up that has been happening in the world of Disney this week. So without further ado, we are now going to head on to the main part of the episode, talking about the most underrated Disney films.
So I love to talk about overrated things, and I love to talk about underrated things. So to balance the playing field, this week we are talking about those movies that just don't get the love that they deserve. And it was really difficult to combine this list, to compile this list, because there are so many Disney movies that Tash and I feel are severely, severely underrated, but we have managed to get it down to 10. So we've got 5 each. We're going to go in our normal fashion if you're a longtime listener of the Chat Disney podcast. And I would like you, Tash, if you're ready, to please do the honors and kick us off.
Ooh, okay. Again, mine are in no particular order, so I'm going very random here. I'm going to go with my most predictable one first off. No surprises. I think a lot of people know that I love this film because I do speak about it a lot on the Chat Disney podcast, but it is The Hunchback of Notre Dame. Now, I love this movie, and unfortunately, I just don't think that it gets the love that it deserves. I spoke about it a couple of weeks ago when we talked about our favourite Disney soundtracks, because the soundtrack for this movie is incredible. All the songs in it just really hit. So yeah, I absolutely love the music for this, and I think it gets severely overlooked. The characters I love. I think Esmeralda is one of the most overlooked. I think she should be a Disney princess, really. I think she's so overlooked. I would love to see more representation of her in the parks. I think she would be really great on a lot of merchandise as well. I feel like she's a bit of a, you know, a niche character, but I think that sometimes like niche merchandise can be really kind of popular. So I would love to see her. Phoebus, I've always been a big fan of as well. He's got that comedy side, but then he's got that soft side as well. I just, again, think that he's a well-written character. Obviously, we've got Quasi, you know, need I say more, lovable, lovable Quasi. And then we've got Frollo, who is probably one of the most terrifying villains, I think, in any Disney movie. And I just think the story of this, obviously, it is based on the classic Victor Hugo novel, Hunchback of Notre Dame. I just think that it is such a great story. And I think what Disney have done with it, they've made it so colourful, so vibrant. You've got Cloppin, who kind of narrates it on and off throughout. I just think that they've done it in such a good and original way. I mean, that kind of narration that we have from Cloppin, we don't really see in any, if many, other Disney films at all. And I just think that it's, yeah, I think that it's great. I think that it doesn't get enough popularity. Why they don't have more of a sort of nod to it in Disneyland Paris when it is set in Paris is completely beyond me. I would love to see more touches of Hunchback in there, and I'm just very sad that we don't see it a lot. They're never in the parades. I know the intro is going to come up in this episode, Mercedes, when you went to Disneyland Paris for the 5th anniversary and it was the Festival of Fools. That is pretty much the only representation of Hunchback of Notre Dame I feel like we've ever had in the parks. So I think it's severely, severely lacking and severely overlooked, and that's why it's probably top of my list.
Nice. I think I've definitely seen a stage show of Hunchback of Notre Dame, but that also might have been for the 5th anniversary. And they did have Quasi in the fireworks at Disneyland Paris for a really long time, but unfortunately they've replaced it with that Shanghai fireworks show that just doesn't work in Disneyland Paris and does not have our old pal Quaz, unfortunately. So it's just not quite the same. I do like this film. I'm not as passionate about it as you are. And I think that the reason it's sometimes forgotten about and doesn't get very much attention is because it's unfortunately it's sandwiched between some of the greats. It came out in that Renaissance period and it's competing with the likes of The Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin. And I think I may have even mentioned this, you know, when we're talking about soundtracks, but there has to be one that comes out bottom of the barrel. And unfortunately it is this. I think it's still a really, really strong Disney movie. I think it is underrated as well. And I think that actually my mum always loved Hunchback of Notre Dame when we were growing up and I never understood why, but I've definitely grown to have a new level of appreciation for the movie now that I'm older. I think there are a lot of themes and, you know, elements of the narrative that are kind of lost on young children. I had no idea that Frollo was like lusting for Esmeralda until I watched it again as an adult. That completely passed me by as a child, which is probably a really good thing. And, you know, Disney at their best when they can subtly weave in those adult themes without children detecting them. But that completely passed me by. And once I realized that, it did make me watch the movie through different eyes and, as I say, have a new appreciation for it. So I do think it's very underrated, but I'm not as passionate about it as a movie, but I do think it deserves more love than it gets.
Yeah, I mean, I know it is sandwiched in that period, but I definitely think it's not the worst film to come out of that period. So I wonder why it doesn't get as much love from everyone.
That's interesting. Let's revisit that at the end of today's episode, because I'm sure there'll be other movies in that period that we talk about today. But I'd be keen to know what your worst Renaissance film is. We'll answer that at the end of the chat. Yeah.
Yes. Interesting. So, Mercedes, what is your first underrated movie?
So I'm also going in no particular order today, and I'm going with a bang. Let's get the controversy flowing, shall we? So I'm going for a experimental era movie, which we don't talk about the experimental era of Disney very much on the podcast because, well, when I tell you what movies are in it, you'll probably understand. It's that period of time straight after the Renaissance, so straight after the 90s, but before the revival, so before the likes of Tangled and Frozen and so on. So you've got things like Treasure Planet, Home on the Range, Chicken Little. They all sit in the experimental era. But there is one movie in this period that I think is severely underrated, and it is Meet the Robinsons. Now, I vaguely remember Meet the Robinsons coming out. I really remember seeing memes of the dragon who's like, I've been watching too much House of the Dragon this past week, the dinosaur, and him saying, I've got a big head and little arms. And I didn't realize that that was even from Meet the Robinsons. To me, it looked like some kind of DreamWorks animation. It didn't look Disney. And I was really disinterested in seeing it. I don't even think I realized that Meet the Robinsons was a Disney movie, if truth be told. And Tash and I have spoken about this period a lot on the podcast and how we kind of fell out of love with Disney a little bit because we were teenagers at this point. So first of all, teenagers don't really watch Disney movies, but that wasn't really the reason. Tash and I were not your typical teenagers. We were much more obsessed with Pixar at this time because it was when, you know, Finding Nemo, The Incredibles, Ratatouille, these amazing Pixar movies were released. And we didn't ever really go to the cinema to watch Disney movies at this time. So Meet the Robinsons, what I'm basically trying to say, was something I wasn't on my radar and I didn't really care about. Fast forward kind of 10, 15 years on, and I started my obsession with collecting the Disney Blu-rays and collecting all of the classics. And Meet the Robinsons was one of the movies that I was missing in my collection. And, you know, I needed to make sure my collection was complete so that Ariel would approve. And I needed to get hold of Meet the Robinsons on Blu-ray. So I did. And it was back when you could get those like movie rewards. I don't know if anyone else used to do this. So every time you bought a Disney Blu-ray, you'd get a code. And when you logged so many codes, you could choose a Blu-ray. And I was due a free Blu-ray. So I picked Meet the Robinsons. And I was like, it's not costing me anything. Fine, we'll get it added to my collection. Obviously, I had to watch it and I was really, really shocked. And I think that it helped that my expectations were very low. I was thinking, you know, why am I wasting my time putting this on? From the minute it started, I was absolutely hooked. Is the animation style the best I've ever seen? No, absolutely not. But the storyline is so heartfelt. I love the surprise that Goop is actually Bowler Hat Guy from the future and, you know, or the other way around. And he's the true villain and that, you know, they are able to go back in time and kind of change his life and make it a happier one. And I love that Lewis's family, the Robinsons, are his family from the future. And we don't figure that out until the end. And I genuinely didn't figure that out until the end. And what I love most about it, in addition to how it's such a lovely story about this adopted boy who finds his family and finds what makes him special, and it's just warm and fuzzy from a narrative perspective, I love that the whole sentiment of the movie is about innovation and science and experiments and all that kind of stuff. And it's basically because of Walt and his line, keep moving forward, which they talk about in the movie all the time. And then it's not until the very end, just before the credits, that you discover that keep moving forward wasn't just a Lewis Robinson quote. It was actually something that Walt Disney used to say to the Imagineers and to his animators as well. So do I think this is the greatest movie of all time? Would I put it in my top 10 Disney classics? Absolutely not. But that's not what we're talking about today. We're talking about Disney movies that are underrated. And I don't think that the average person would even know that this movie was a Disney film. I certainly didn't. And that's coming from a Disney podcast content creator. And I know that like my extended family and friends probably have never even seen it. And I think it's a real shame because I do think it's a good film. I don't think it's the most accessible for young children, but for Disney fans who want to watch something different, unique, that really has got the heart of Walt Disney threaded through it, I think it does a really good job.
So you've made me want to watch it again. I had actually never seen this movie. I think it was the first lockdown where I decided to go through and see the sort of Disney movies that I hadn't seen. So I watched The Black Cauldron. I watched The Sword in the Stone because I hadn't watched that since I was really young. And Meet the Robinsons was one of them. So I watched that as well. And unfortunately, I have to say that it didn't draw me in the same way that it seems to have done for you. And I don't think I really paid that much attention to it. I think I lost interest and started doing something else. But I would like to see it again. You speak about it quite passionately. So, hey, I'll give it another go. I don't know it well enough to say whether I agree with you yet, as if it's an underrated movie or not. But hey, watch this space. I'll watch it and then I'll let you know what I think.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds great. Just to give some context, Hunchback of Notre Dame has got only 7 on IMDb. Meet the Robinsons has got only 6.8. So these are movies that people generally are not on board with. I actually have another movie coming up soon that has an even lower rating on IMDb, so I'm really excited to talk about that. But for now, Tash, what have you got up next for us?
Speaking of that 6.8 rating, I'm pretty sure this movie also has a 6.8 rating because I did check it earlier. And again, I feel like it's going to be a bit of a controversial one, but it is Brother Bear. Now, I really like this movie. Again, do I think it's the best Disney movie of all time? No, but I do think it does get a little bit overlooked. I actually do really like the story of this. I like a Disney animal movie. Mercedes, I know they're not for you. I like the characters. I like that it's kind of a journey, a quest. I like seeing the relationship develop between Coda and the big bear Kenai, I think voiced by Jacqueline Phoenix. So I like that. I think Coda is super cute as a Disney character. I can imagine him being on like the Skinny Dip merchandise if he was a bit more popular, but he's not. Again, I've never seen anything to do with Brother Bear in the parks. As I said, it's only got a 6.8 rating as well, so I don't know why it's so overlooked. And you know, Disney obviously thought after the success of Tarzan with that soundtrack by Phil Collins, let's get him back in to do another Disney movie. So he does the soundtrack for Brother Bear, and the movie was a bit of a flop. So I mean, come on, I'm not saying that the soundtrack compares to Tarzan. I think Tarzan has actually got a pretty strong soundtrack, but I do think that Brother Bear, again, I think it's got some decent songs in it. They're not all amazing. There is a couple of weak songs. I think, I don't know what it's called, but the song when Kenai is sort of admitting to Coda what happened is a bit terrible. It's very literal, I think. But yeah, I think it's a shame that a lot of these songs do get overlooked. And I just love seeing that relationship between the two. I think there's a nice message for children about honesty in it. I think there's some good characters. The only characters I dislike from this movie are Rotten Took, the mooses. Are they moose? Deers? Whatever they are. They're annoying. I think Disney put them in for the, you know, comedy value, and it kind of flopped a little bit for me there. But apart from that, like you said, with Meet the Robinsons, it's not the best Disney movie. It's not probably going to be in my top 20, but I do think it gets a bit more hate than it deserves.
Yeah, again, it's one of these experimental ones, and I think people just don't have them on their radar. Again, I would suspect that a lot of people listening today have probably not seen Brother Bear, or they've seen it once. I've tried to watch it a couple of times, and I lose interest, kind of similarly to what you were saying with Meet the Robinsons. I don't give it my full attention. I am a little bit biased in that, as you said, I'm not that into the animal Disney movies generally. I want to like this one, but it just, for me, I think, and this pains me to say this, but for the time of, you know, its release and also the kind of topic, it kind of feels to me like they should have attempted CGI. I think that hand-drawn animation at that time with animals, it didn't quite work. It looks too modern almost. You think about hand-drawn creatures in Bambi, and they've got that real kind of old-fashioned, heartwarming feeling, and Dumbo. Like when I think about the animation of those mooses, it felt too digital, but it was hand-drawn. I'm not making very much sense. Too kind of bright in color. And I just think, if you think about like Brave and how gorgeous those like forest scenes are, I feel like Brother Bear could have worked better. I know that Brave's obviously about bears. I didn't realize that. That's obviously why it was subconsciously in my head. But I feel like if Pixar had taken this on, it might have worked. I think that it just wasn't quite the right style. I really don't think that Phil Collins should have done the music. I think that it's really weird, actually, that they went back to that, because it's kind of, to me, when they get these artists, it feels very like one and done. Like Elton John did Lion King, thank you very much. Phil Collins did Tarzan, and, you know, he's given you all his best material. I do really like the Tell Everybody I'm On My Way. I like that song. But I think, again, it's one of those ones where I don't particularly like the film. It doesn't get like a terrible rap in the same way that some of the films do, but it's just weird. It's kind of just absent. Like, I've never seen anything from Brother Bear in a Disney park, and I find that so strange. Like, you've literally got the Bear County section in Disneyland, and you've got Grizzly River Run or whatever it's called in California Adventure, and then you've got a Canada pavilion at Epcot. Like, come on. They could definitely have like a meet and greet. So I get annoyed sometimes that they don't utilize these movies. It's like you've got all of this IP ready and waiting, and it's always Ariel and it's always Simba. It's like, come on, give someone else a chance.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Like, I wonder if it was ever in any parades or anything when it first came out, because I don't think that many people have seen it unless you're like a true Disney fan. A lot of people I know haven't seen it. But yeah, it's weird. There is no, it is, it's almost like, I kind of put it in the same realm of as Dinosaur in terms of, but Dinosaur is a bad movie. That's not
Dinosaur's got a ride.
But, oh yeah, it has, hasn't it? I was going to say in terms of it being like just a forgotten about movie, a movie that almost didn't exist. But no, you're right, it has.
It has, but. It has, but that I believe, and somebody with much more expertise on Walt Disney World than I can definitely speak to this if I'm right, I'm pretty sure that ride was already there and it was called like Prehistoric Expedition or something like that. Then Dinosaur came out and they just put that statue of the dinosaur from the movie outside, but the actual ride has got nothing to do with the film.
Yeah, they always used to play that opening music. I think it's called The Egg Travels Outside, in between like Disneyland and California Adventure as well, because that's why I love that piece of music, because it reminds me of that park. But Brother Bear, yeah, might as well just not even exist.
I feel like, I might have imagined this, I feel like I saw like, is it called a totem pole, like a carving? I'm sure I saw like a Brother Bear sort of carving in the grizzly bear bit in DCA. Like, I'm fairly sure. But that really annoys me because, yes, you get bears in California, like Yosemite is full of bears. It's literally like the state logo is a bear, but it's set in Canada. So like, that, like, come on, you have the Canada Pavilion. If I don't see Brother Bear material merch at the Canada Pavilion when I go to Epcot, I'm going to be really angry. I'm going to make a point to go into the gift shop to see if they've got any Brother Bear material, because they absolutely should.
I think you're going to be disappointed. So I look forward to hearing the results. So let's leave Brother Bear there. What have you got next?
I have got a movie. This is golden era. We're going all over the place. I've gone with the one that started them all, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. I think Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs is severely, severely underrated. And let me tell you why. Just listen to this for a second, right? That film is almost, I actually feel like I'm going to laugh. It's almost 100 years old. Like, I actually can't cope with that. It's almost 100 years old. And yet the animation is just as crisp and as clean, probably better than something like Brother Bear, which is also hand-drawn. Mental. Plus, it's still funny. It's still scary. It's still wonderful. And it's more progressive than, you know, something like Ariel and Eric's relationship, because she doesn't lose her voice and they meet before she falls in love. Like, they have a meeting. Yeah, whatever. Crazy, crazy to me. 100 years, mental. So that's not the only reason. I think that Snow White is well regarded generally. Like, people appreciate it's the one that started them all, and the Oscars that Walt got, you know, he got the big Oscar and the 7 mini Oscars, and everyone loves that. But thinking again about merchandise and parks and so on, the main princesses that get the lion's share, I feel, nowadays are Belle, Cinderella, Sleeping Beauty, and Rapunzel. I feel like Rapunzel's everywhere. Sometimes Tiana. Snow White has definitely had her nose like pushed out of joint, and I'm not quite sure why. And more shockingly, I can't believe she doesn't have a castle. Like, Disneyland, okay, fine, Walt went with Sleeping Beauty Castle, it was a newer film, whatever. But then they went for Cinderella, and it's like, okay, then went back to Sleeping Beauty for Paris. I mean, they definitely should have done Beast's Castle for Disneyland Paris. That was a miss. And then Hong Kong and Shanghai, they're just like, yeah, we've just gone with some random story. But like, what? Come on. Like, the first princess, the princess that started more. And also, her castle's beautiful. It looks like a cloud, like that gorgeous white and gold. Like, that would look amazing. Really, really weird. Again, you do sometimes see the dwarves in like stage shows and parades, but Do you know what? I say that. I haven't seen them for a while. I feel like in the 90s, I used to see them an awful lot. But I haven't seen the dwarves for a very, very long time. I haven't seen Snow White for a very long time. If you're queuing up to meet two princesses at Fairy Tale Hall, I can bet your bottom dollar you're going to get Sleeping Beauty and Rapunzel, or you're going to get Belle and Tiana, or Sophia the First. You're not going to get Snow White. I never see Snow White at meet and greets. She is often available to see at the Auberge de Cendrillon in Paris. It's often Cinderella and Snow White there, but that's a one-off. Oh, and you can sometimes meet her in Germany at Epcot. But for the first ever Disney princess, that's not a lot. Now, she's not my favourite princess. Hey, she's probably one of my worst princesses, actually. But that's not the point. I don't think she gets the love and the respect that she deserves. Her attraction's been taken away from Walt Disney World. Yeah, all right, there's the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train now, but that's not about her. And I just feel like for the one that started it all, like Cinderella and Sleeping Beauty, get way more attention. And I do think that Snow White is a way better film than both of those. I love all three of these films, don't get me wrong, but I think Snow White is the superior movie out of the three of them. And she doesn't really get a look in.
Interesting. See, I completely understand why this is on your list. I think you vocalised that very well. And I think, yeah, you know, she is the princess that started it all. I do think that this movie is appropriately placed, but that's personally, I think Sleeping Beauty and Cinderella are better movies. Snow White is funnier, I think, but I think the other two are better movies. And I think that those princesses are just a bit more popular. So I think that Disney are obviously following what's popular, and that's why they've gone in those directions. But yeah, she definitely doesn't get as much kind of spotlight as some of the other princesses. I think the only time, or the last time I can remember seeing the dwarves, is they had a heavy presence in the Magical Storybook Express parade in Shanghai. But yeah, I don't think I can remember seeing them in many other parades. Or I feel like occasionally you'll get like two of them or something. Like you don't get all seven together, which is kind of odd. But yeah, I have to say that I think this movie is appropriately regarded. I think that people will always look on it fondly because it is the first one. And I think it is a classic. I think that even people that aren't Disney fans aren't going to show their children it because of Snow White being a Disney princess. I think if she wasn't in the Disney princess lineup, then yeah, it would definitely get overlooked. So yeah, I think it's regarded as it should be.
Fair enough. I actually just looked very quickly on IMDb to see how it's rated. It's rated really well. So it's actually rated more highly than Sleeping Beauty and Cinderella. So maybe people do really like this film. And I just, for whatever reason, feel that it is underrated. And as I say, I think I've now started to go off on a different tangent and look at like Disney parks for whatever reason. So yeah, I feel like I just would like a Snow White castle. I think that would be really cool.
I agree with you there. I think that they are missing a trick massively there. So I'm going to go on to my next choice. And Mercedes, it's another animal movie. And this time I'm going with The Fox and the Hound. I think this movie gets severely overlooked. Again, slightly better rating than Brother Bear. It's got a 7.2 on IMDb. But I just think the characters of Todd and Copper are just such lovely characters. They lend themselves perfectly to this kind of cutesy character merchandise that we have, but we don't see them, or we rarely ever see them. And I think that it's such a nice story, and a real story about friendship. You know, they're friends when they're younger and then they grow up. And I love the fact that it has a bittersweet ending. You know, it's not a happy ending. They don't become friends again. They kind of is that, I think, understanding when Copper lets Todd kind of go at the end instead of attacking him. But it's very, very bittersweet. It's like they can kind of live harmoniously, but they don't rekindle that friendship that they had when they were younger. And how many times does that happen in our real life when we drift away from people or we outgrow people? And it's really sad. And I think that it's demonstrated perfectly in this movie. I also think that, and again, I know I spoke about this recently, but I think it has one of the most saddest moments of any Disney movie when whatever her name is, I don't know, I want to say her name is Sarah, but I don't know if that is right, when the woman takes Todd off into the woods because she realizes that she can no longer keep him as an adult fox. And he's kind of sat there expecting that they're going on some nice adventure, and then he twigs that she is leaving him. And it is literally, honestly, thinking about it almost puts a lump in my throat. It is so sad, that moment when he realizes he then has to fend for himself. That I don't know why people don't have that up there with, you know, the Dumbo moment or Mufasa's death. It's heart-wrenching, it's horrible. And again, it just doesn't get any look at in the parks. I don't think I've ever seen a Todd or Copper meet and greet. I mean, there's not really a lot of other standout characters from that movie, I will admit that. But yeah, I think it gets very overlooked. I'd love to see more merchandise with Todd and Copper on them. Again, Skinny Dip, I can see both of them on phone cases, on water bottles. But it's just not going to happen because this movie is severely underrated.
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely seen a Loungefly rucksack that's like Todd and then Copper's head like on top of his. But I mean, no, I've definitely never seen them at Disney parks. Like every now and again, they might release like a Christmas decoration or something like that. But yeah, definitely no representation in the parks. I don't like The Fox and the Hound. But as I said last week, and I am a woman very true to my word, I am willing to revisit it because I think that one of the big differences between Tash and I is that Tash grew up with pets and had a dog, and I did not. And I think that now that I have my own dog, who I love more than any other living being on the planet, I probably would watch the movie with a different lens, I think, because I've noticed that animal movies and dog movies specifically do impact me emotionally a lot more than they did before I got a dog. So I'd be keen to go back and watch it. I remember when I was a little girl, I used to put Fox and the Hound on quite a lot, and my mum would always fall asleep. It was like a running gag that we had, like, oh, we want mum to take a nap, we'll put Fox and the Hound on. And I mean, that kind of speaks volumes. So again, I think I don't like to see any Disney movie not have representation. And when we're talking about fireworks shows and parades and stage shows, and we're like, it's always Frozen, it's always The Little Mermaid, it's always Lion King, it's always Beauty and the Beast. That irritates me because they do have this library of material to choose. And Fox and the Hound is absolutely a part of that. But again, I kind of understand why this one's been forgotten, because I don't think it's that strong. There are other movies that came out at a similar time that are animal movies that are much better. Lady and the Tramp, The Aristocats, 101 Dalmatians, and they get a lot of attention and a lot of love, and there's a lot of merchandise for those movies. So I think, again, this one's just fallen casualty to being more of the same at a specific point in time.
Yeah, I mean, again, some of those movies I could have put on my overrated list last week, because I think this is much better than any of those. But I think, yeah, rewatch it. And with that scene, imagine that's you just dropping Pecan off into the woods.
Oh, somewhere. My baby. That will break my heart. I see. So I've mentioned this already today, and it's not on topic, but it's at the forefront of my mind. So I'm going to mention it again. But I'm really, really enjoying The House of the Dragon. It's completely rekindled my love of Game of Thrones, which, for those of you that don't know me personally, my love of Game of Thrones is almost equivalent to my love of Disney. I used to be a big Game of Thrones fan back in the day, and then that season that we won't talk about, but luckily The House of the Dragons brought it all back, and I'm obsessed once again. And obviously there's a lot of dragons in House of the Dragon because it's set a very long time before Game of Thrones, before all of the dragons are extinct. And honestly, like, the dragons break my heart. I look into their eyes and I see my dog staring back at me. I see his face in the eyes of these poor innocent dragons. And so I know that I'll just be a mess when it comes to poor, helpless Todd and Copper.
You will. I promise you that. You will. I'm looking forward to this happening. Right. Mercedes, what have you got next for us?
I am going Renaissance. And so I didn't want to talk too much about the Renaissance and which one's the best and which one's the worst, because I knew that I had some Renaissance movies to discuss today. And I am going to share Mulan with you as my underrated Disney film. I think this film is absolutely wonderful. I think it's one of the best Disney movies. It'll probably be in my, definitely be in my top 20, probably be in my top 10. I think the music's fantastic. The characters are fantastic. It's a great representation of Asian characters that we don't see in very many of the Disney classics. And actually, it's probably one of the first that did that, which is really important and empowering. You've got some great voice talents in there. It's just an amazing movie. So this one, you know, I said to you, our Meet the Robinsons isn't one of my favorites, but I think it's underrated. This is one of my favorites, which is why, you know, I'm so confused that it doesn't get the love and the attention that it deserves. I don't know what you're going to pick as your worst Renaissance movie, Tash, when we get to that bit a bit later on, but it can't be this. I mean, this is definitely not the worst Renaissance movie. It's so good. And I think we said this when we were talking about music. I very rarely meet somebody that tells me that Mulan is their favorite Disney movie. And that really shocks and surprises me because it's super accessible for, you know, girly girls, active girls, girly boys, active boys. Not that girly girls can't be active. I tried to be inclusive with my vocabulary there and it just failed. You know what I mean? Everybody. It's a really inclusive movie, really funny. Talks about some really serious themes, especially in Asian culture, you know, the honor that you bring to your family and decisions that you have to make and duty and honor and all that kind of stuff. I think it's absolutely wonderful. And I just don't understand why it doesn't have bigger representation. I was really disappointed when I went to Shanghai because, you know, I'd heard all this stuff about, oh, Mulan's got, you know, loads of representation in the park. She's got more representation than she's got in any of the other parks, but it's not that much. She has a float in the parade. And yes, it is the biggest and most majestic of the floats, but it's just a float in a parade. And then you have a section of the, whatever that boat ride's called. It's a little bit like the storybook ride that you have in Disneyland or Disneyland Paris. I think it's like the Crystal Grotto or something like that. She has a moment there and you see her depicted in the castle. That's it. Like, why wasn't there a Mulan dark ride instead of Peter Pan? Like, I would have loved something like that, or a walkthrough. Like, we have the Agrabah Aladdin walkthrough in Disneyland Paris. They could have added a really amazing Chinese architecture inspired walkthrough that tells the story of Mulan. I think it's a real shame. I did actually watch a Mulan parade in Hollywood Studios in 1998 when I went to Orlando, and that was just Mulan, but that was just a thing that they used to do back then, like the Festival of Fools, where a movie would come out and then they'd have like a whole parade that was just dedicated to that film. But since then, with the exception of Shanghai, I have never ever seen Mulan on a float. And just to add, you know, more salt to the wound, I mentioned, you know, it's very unlikely you're going to see Snow White in Fairy Tale Hall. You're never going to see Mulan in Fairy Tale Hall. I'm telling you that now. If you're queuing for 2 hours in hopes to see Mulan, well, I'm telling you that you're wasting your time. She is never, ever included in the Disney Princess breakfasts, in the Disney Princess meet and greets. She wasn't even in like the princess, whatever that princess show was called. There was a show, I can't remember what it was called now, but you get my point. If ever there's like a princess float in a parade, Mulan's not on it. And I don't think that that's okay.
I completely agree with you, to be honest. I mean, there's not a lot else I can add to this. I mean, yeah, it's one of my favourite Disney movies of all time as well. It is severely overlooked. It's a crying shame that you don't get to see her. And it would be so nice to be able to see both, you know, her as Mulan and her as Ping as well. I would love that. And again, why not in the Chinese Pavilion in Epcot? Can we have Mulan there occasionally, every now and again? I mean, again, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think there was really any representation of Mulan in the Chinese Pavilion in Epcot.
They do have her for meet and greet there. I've met her there before, but that, I mean, that's like the minimum that they could do. I think Mushu is sometimes available for meet and greet as well, but he's very, very little. He's actually smaller than Nikki, so that's quite a rare sighting.
Again, like, even, okay, let's disregard Mulan here. How popular is Mushu as a character? And again, we don't see him ever in the parks. Like, I can just imagine him in the parade when they kind of have, you know, like, a mix of characters just coming through. And we never see him. It's weird.
It is weird. And also, like, there was that Mushu show. It was, because I was about to say that I think Mushu would do a really good job in that narrator role, like we sometimes see Jiminy Cricket do. And we have had a show where it was in Walt Disney Studios in Paris, but I think it had been brought over from Hollywood Studios, because I seem to recall seeing it when I was in Orlando. And it's about animation and like how they draw characters, and they start drawing Mushu and he like comes to life and he's like, I ain't got time for this, blah, 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 whatever. You just have to wear headphones. And I tell you where it was actually, you know, in Walt Disney Studios where we watched that awful Frozen show.
Yes.
It was in there. It used to be this like Mushu thing. But that, I mean, come on, I'm clutching at straws there. This is one of the greatest performing Disney movies. Like, it was a really successful movie. It's got a really good ranking on IMDb. This is a really popular Renaissance movie. Why does it not have a greater presence in the parks? It does not make any sense.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you on that one. I think that is probably one of the most underrated Disney movies of all time. So, yeah. Well done for having this one on your list.
Thank you very much. This has kind of turned into which movies are not in Disney parks. And I'm trying to still be, you know, partial.
But then that is partly why they are underrated, right? So again, the next one that I'm going to have on this list, again, doesn't have much representation. I've kind of already mentioned it today, but it is Tarzan. And again, it did come out in that Renaissance period between, sandwiched between a lot of the greats. So I think maybe that's why it's a little bit overlooked, but it's one that I never went to the cinema to see. And at that time, you know, I would have been a 7 or 8, and I think all my movies were kind of decided by my parents, and for some reason they didn't see it as fitting to take me to this. Now, I hope this doesn't offend anyone, but I was very much a girly girl. I only really liked Disney princesses, and I probably took one look at this movie, didn't see a princess, and thought, nah, I'm not interested in that. However, I think that this is an excellent film. I think, kind of unlike the Brother Bear soundtrack, which does have some good songs, Tarzan has got a fantastic soundtrack. Strangers Like Me, one of my favourite Disney songs. I think that there's a lot going for this movie in terms of that. The character of Jane as well, I love her, voiced by Minnie Driver with that, you know, over-the-top British posh accent. I just think that, yeah, there's so many parts of this that are overlooked. I've never really seen Tarzan in the parks. They had that Tarzan acrobatic show in Shanghai, which was fairly decent. But apart from that, I don't think I've ever really seen Tarzan parading about in his loincloth. I mean, maybe there's a reason for that. Maybe Disney think it's a bit inappropriate to have a half-naked man available for meet and greet, or dancing his way along a parade route in front of loads of children. I don't know, but maybe there's a reason for that. Mercedes, it looked like you were about to say something there.
I was just gonna say, I've seen Mowgli in a parade, but they put him in like a dress.
What?
Yeah, like a, not a dress, but like, you know, like Stig of the Dump, like a brown sort of like tunic.
Yeah, so I think it's like with Jasmine sometimes when they kind of give her like a fake stomach. I'm not explaining that well, but do you know what I mean? Like tights, so it's not like her bare flesh is on show.
Yes and no. So I've seen him in a skin like leotard type thing, but no, that it actually is a tunic, like a dark brown, like a little dress, like a summer dress.
Right. Okay.
And that he's not just in red pants.
I see. Okay.
But anyway, back to the matter at hand, Tarzan. I agree. I think Tarzan's really underrated as well. I think it's just casualty to this Renaissance period being so, so popular. I mean, Tarzan came out just after Mulan, and if I had to pick, I'd say Mulan's the better movie, and Mulan doesn't even get any representation. So I'm trying to think about things I've seen. There was a Tarzan show in Disneyland Paris, you're right. It was like an acrobatic thing, and they've had the Shanghai one as well. Jane was available for meet and greet for a really long time in Animal Kingdom. I would have absolutely loved to have seen her, never have, which is a real shame. Again, Jane would be such an easy one to have at the beginning of a parade when they have those kind of, you know, little character cavalcades where it's just a real eclectic mix. Or on that boat at the end of Fantasmic, along with Meg and whoever else is on that boat, why not have Jane? It would be a really good, you know, I'd love to see Jane, Esmeralda, Meg, the what's her face from Atlantis? I've forgotten her name. Kiara, that's not her name. What's her name?
Where's Key? It is Kiara, isn't it? Kia? Kiara?
No, Kiara is Simba's daughter from The Lion King, Simba 2.
It begins with a K.
I think it begins with Kida. Kida. Kida, isn't it? Yeah, it came to me there. Yeah, not Kiara, which is Simba's daughter. So, yeah, I agree. I think it's a real shame. I'm surprised we don't have any of the music as you're walking around the Disney park as well. That Phil Collins soundtrack is so strong. But, yeah, as I say, there's a lot of big hitters in the Renaissance.
Absolutely. So, Mercedes, I'm really dying to know what the last movie on your list is.
Okay, so before I get to it, I do have an honourable mention that I wanted to talk about. So I was going to have Lilo and Stitch as a movie that I felt was severely underrated, and I changed my mind. And let me tell you why. I think the film Lilo and Stitch is a really underrated movie. I know lots of people that had never watched it. I know the people that wouldn't be able to tell you the storyline. However, because of the Stitch character and the way that he has taken the Disney community and the Disney fandom by storm, I don't think I can, in good conscience, have Lilo and Stitch on my underrated Disney movie list, because at the moment, Stitch is possibly the most overrated Disney character of all time. Just last week, I went to Primark. I saw a Stitch toaster. I saw a Stitch waffle maker. There are Stitch cocktail stirrers on the Shop Disney website right now. If you want some Stitch merchandise, you've got it. Like, he's up there along with the likes of Mickey and Minnie. Yet the film, for whatever reason, remains this movie that not that many people have watched, not that many people would choose as their favorite Disney movie of all time. There's a real disconnect, it seems, between the character Stitch and the movie, which is why I didn't put it on the list. But it's just an interesting dynamic, I feel.
Yeah, this is an interesting one, because I do think it's an underrated movie, but I don't think it's good enough to warrant having Stitch as such a focal central character. I know he's your sister's favorite character, but yeah, for me, he is. I'm a bit sick of him, seeing him left, right and centre, here, there and everywhere. Every shot you go into, there he is. He's, yeah, not my favourite character. I don't have an issue with him. But yeah, underrated movie, but not good enough to warrant him being a focal character.
Yeah, and it's really weird, actually, because my sister was obsessed with Stitch years and years ago. Like, she always has been. Before this kind of Stitch madness, she's always loved Stitch. And I remember being like, oh, I hate Stitch because I see him everywhere. And they've got the angel character now as well. And Reuben, who's like the yellow Stitch, like they are everywhere in the parks. But I watched Lilo and Stitch again not that long ago. And it's such a good movie. And actually, like, the popularity of Stitch has made me think that I'm fed up of it. But actually, no, I love it. And I actually really love the character of Stitch in the film. It's just this, like, Stitch craziness that is annoying.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree. So that was your honourable mention. So what is on your official list?
My official list is another Renaissance movie, surprise, surprise, and I have gone for Pocahontas. Now, this is a very controversial choice because this movie gets ripped to filth by not just the Disney community, but pretty much everyone. And I think the main reason is that it's not historically accurate. But hey, guess what? It's a Disney film. Like, I really don't understand why people take so much issue with that. But anyway, I digress. I guess it's because it's based on a real person. But anyway, so yeah, it gets a really bad rap, and it shouldn't. If we just take it as a movie and forget that it's based on historical inaccuracies, it's got some of the best music, Colors of the Wind, Just Around the River Bend, like amazing. Love her side cat. Oh my goodness, side cats. She does not have side cats. She has sidekicks. Love her sidekicks. She has Miko, who is one of my absolute favorites, and Percy, our only Disney animated pug. I mean, come on, I have a pug. I often say, actually, that my dog looks like Percy, but has the characteristics of Miko. He is Miko. And Flick and her friendship as well, like seeing two female character friends. I forget what her friend's called, like Naomi. She's not called Naomi. You know who I mean.
No, yeah, it does begin with N.
It begins with, it's going to come to me. It's going to come to me. Just like Kida came to me. Oh, I can hear what's his face, Kukuam, saying it. Like, you scared her. Oh, well, it doesn't matter. But seeing her friendship with, you know, another woman, I think that's the first time I've ever seen two friends, adult female friends, in a Disney movie. How revolutionary. Love John Smith. I mean, you know, you can't get enough of Mel Gibson. Like, I just love it. It's a great, great film. But for whatever reason, everyone loves to hate this one. And I really don't understand why. As I say, it's because of the historical inaccuracies. Again, we don't get enough of it in the Disney parks. There was a Pocahontas show in Disneyland Paris when the movie was released, and that's it. Again, you're not going to see Pocahontas at Fairytale Hall. You're not going to see her at breakfast with Cinderella in Cinderella's castle with the other princesses. She's never in the parade. Like, if Mulan's not in the parade, Pocahontas is definitely, definitely not in the parade. And again, why can't they have Miko? Like, I've seen a Miko meet and greet. He used to braid my hair when I was a teenager in Cafe Mickey. They used to whack him out. Why have they not got Miko as one of those random characters? Like, you know, there's always that float with like Winnie the Pooh, Prince John, and like, I don't know, some other random, like King Louis. They often stick those kind of like furry characters on a float. Why not have Miko on there as well? I don't understand. That is a definite missed opportunity. This literally doesn't have any presence in any park. I think there's some boats in Shanghai that they've decided to call like Pocahontas's boats, aren't they? Like little canoes or something, or have I just made that up? And there used to be Pocahontas's Indian village in Disneyland Paris, which is very inaccurately named, but that was what it was called. And that's gone. So yeah, if Mulan doesn't have any representation, Pocahontas definitely doesn't. And my final point on this was saying, oh, you know, Mulan should definitely be in Shanghai, whatever. Pocahontas should definitely be in both California and Florida because she is a Native American, which is just, you know, apart from Tiana, she is the only American Disney princess. So come on, Disney, do something about it.
Yeah, I completely agree with you on that one. I love Pocahontas. It's probably one of my favorite Disney movies. And again, it does get bad rap for cultural inaccuracy or historical inaccuracies and the race element as well. But yeah, I love it. I think the soundtrack is fantastic. I really like John Smith as a character. Flick and Miko, again, why we don't see them in more merchandise. I think you make some very valid points there. And yeah, just, I think, severely overlooked. I think it's one of the ones now that, if you ask someone again who's not a Disney fan what movies they were going to show their children, they would pick from the Renaissance period and this would be lost.
Yeah, I completely agree. So to conclude, you've got one more pick, Tash. I don't believe you have any honourable mentions. So before we get into your final choice, why don't you tell us, because I'm really curious, what you think the worst Renaissance movie is? So yeah, what is your, I'm really curious, I can't think what your worst Renaissance movie is.
I feel, oh God, it's really hard. Isn't like, there's a really shit film in the Renaissance period, isn't there? Are we not allowed, isn't it like The Rescuers Down Under or something?
Yeah, you can't pick that.
Okay, my worst film from the Renaissance period. I mean, I know I've put it in this list, but I would probably have to say Tarzan, just because I love all the others so much. And I do love that movie, but not as strongly as I love the others.
Interesting. So you think that Tarzan is worse than Hunchback?
Yeah.
That's fascinating. I don't know what I would pick. I'd probably pick The Lion King, or maybe also just a really, I can upset the fans and say The Lion King, or I can upset Tash and say The Little Mermaid, but they're the two that I don't feel as connected to. Like, I feel really passionately about Pocahontas, Beauty and the Beast, like, I don't know, I can't explain it. Whereas Little Mermaid, I've mentioned many times before that I didn't get introduced into that until I was older, so that's why I don't feel connected. And while we're talking about Renaissance movies, I've actually just realized I've gone wrong somewhere, because I do actually have another underrated movie to discuss. So we'll go with your last pick, Tash, and then I've got a bonus one because somehow I've managed to skip it.
Okay, so my last one is The Princess and the Frog. So our last hand-drawn movie, which is, I think, is a crying shame, because I love hand-drawn animation. I wish that they would have stuck with that. And I love the animation for Princess and the Frog. Again, I put it in my favourite soundtracks a couple of weeks ago, because I do think it's got a severely underrated soundtrack, that kind of deep Louisiana kind of soul, jazz, funk kind of soundtrack that we have. You know, Tiana's soulful voice, I absolutely love. It is. I know it gets a lot of stick because, you know, it's the first African-American princess that we have, and she spends the whole movie as a frog. So maybe that is partly why it gets a little bit overlooked. But I feel like even outside of the Disney community, people that aren't necessarily aware of that, a lot of people haven't seen this movie. And maybe it is because it is one of those later films and it is hand-drawn animation. And then we went to Rapunzel, which was CGI, and a lot of people maybe kind of relate to that more modern look of animation, so they don't show their kids it anymore. But I think until recently, again, it didn't have a massive presence in the parks. Tiana was available for a meet and greet, and I think you can see her in parades now and again. But we have been crying for a Princess and the Frog ride for a very long time. Obviously, we are now getting it with the takeover of Splash Mountain. Hallelujah. I'm very, very excited about this ride. But yeah, I just think that it gets really overlooked for how good it is. I think it is a top tier Disney movie. I'd whack it in with those Renaissance period movies. That's how good I think it is. I absolutely love it. I think it has everything in terms of characters, story, song. Yeah, for me, it's a perfect movie. Dr. Facilier, great villain. Love his villain song so much. So, yeah, I just think it's a real shame that we don't see it more.
I completely agree. I actually like The Princess and the Frog more than Tangled, which I know that's probably really controversial. I love it. I would definitely have it in my top 10 Disney movies. I don't understand why Tiana is a little bit on the outside, if we're being completely honest. Like, I already mentioned that Rapunzel, for whatever reason, managed to get herself in that top tier, you know, the inner ring of the Disney princesses, if you will. She's always at Fairy Tale Story Hall, whatever it's called, Fairy Tale Hall Story. What am I trying to say? Fairy Tale Hall, I think.
Fairy Tale Hall.
Yeah, she's always there. She's always at the Cinderella breakfast in the castle. She's always in the Disneyland Hotel in Disneyland Paris waving. She's even got her own breakfast. I actually think it's not happening right now because of COVID, but there's an exclusive Disney princess breakfast at one of the resorts in Orlando, and it's Ariel and Eric, Rapunzel and Flynn. Like, she has managed to muscle her way in, and she's CGI. Tiana is an American princess, and yet she is not included. And I'm sorry to say this, I do wonder if it's racially charged. I do wonder if people, you know, oh, yeah, great, the first Black princess, people are actually discriminating against her, because why is she not included as much as Rapunzel? And, like, you'll see, like, a kid's water bottle, and it will have those classic princesses, Belle, Cinderella, you know, a couple more Renaissance, like, maybe it will have, I don't know, it won't have Mulan or Pocahontas, let's face it, but it might have Jasmine, definitely will have Rapunzel. Never has Tiana. Like, it's very, very rare that Tiana is included with them. And I think that's part of the problem. I think that they do, I don't know, I do sometimes see things with her on, but she's not a given. She's like a nice to have, as it were. And I don't get that. Like, for me, there's, as I say, I almost want to, like, rank the tiers of princesses. I feel like Belle, Cinderella, Aurora are your mean girls. Like, they're always included. Rapunzel's starting to get some of that action as well. Then you've got this secondary tier, which is like Ariel, Jasmine, Snow White. Like, they're sometimes included, but not always. And I feel like that's where Tiana fits in. And then you've got poor old Mulan and Pocahontas and Merida that never get a look in. And I don't understand it. It's madness to me. The public were crying out for their first Black princess. Disney gave us an African-American princess. And she does spend the movie as a frog, which I know a lot of Black people do not like. And so actually Tiana's not that celebrated in the Black community because of the fact that she isn't very visible as a Black woman. But come on, like, just don't have this character just to tick a box and then not include her. She should be at those princess breakfasts. She should be on the parade. She should be available to meet at Princess Fairy Tale Hall. And she is sometimes, but it's not enough.
Yeah, completely, completely agree. So, Mercedes, I'm dying to know what your bonus pick is here.
I mean, hey, how could I forget about this one? This is like probably one of the most underrated. It's Hercules. Of course it's Hercules. We started this whole kind of mini series off by talking about our favorite soundtracks. And, you know, that's kind of what inspired us to do this episode, because we were talking about how underrated the Hercules soundtrack is. And I think it's true for the movie as a whole. It's up there with, you know, the likes of Mulan, Tarzan, Princess and the Frog. Everything that we've said about those movies today stands for Hercules as well. It's funny. It's got soul. It's got amazing music. It's got heart. It's got a really progressive narrative. It's awesome. It is one of my favorite Disney movies of all time. And yet, again and again, I'm repeating myself today, we don't get Hercules merchandise. We don't see Hercules in the parks. We see Meg at the end of Fantasmic, but that's almost like a rare sighting. Sometimes they'll bring out Hades if they're doing like a special event with kind of, you know, one-time limited characters, but that in itself speaks volumes. Why are they one-time limited characters? It's just madness to me that we don't have more Hercules in the parks. And I do think that Disney are getting a little bit wiser to this with the whole kind of, you know, the rebirth of the 90s, 90s stuff being in fashion again. We know that they've got Max Goof at Mickey's Not So Scary dressed as Powerline. And that's definitely to appeal to, you know, the millennials that are going to be attending that event. And I have noticed a little bit of an increase in terms of Hercules music and parks, like merch and stuff like that. There were a couple of t-shirts I saw randomly, but it's still nowhere near the levels of, you know, Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin. I want to be at the castle during the fireworks, and, you know, after a really slow moment, it picks up again with the a star is born. That would be such a good fireworks song, and I want to see that.
Yeah, again, I completely agree with you. Hercules is an interesting one, because I think in the Disney community, and not even just the Disney community, I think it is regarded as an underrated movie. So why is that in itself, if everyone thinks that, and not enough to make it rate higher, if that makes sense? But I think you are right. I think Disney are kind of cottoning onto us 90s folk, and they are picking up on this, and they are kind of interjecting it a little bit more. But yeah, so overlooked, this movie. Amazing soundtrack, probably one of the best Disney soundtracks of all time, and does not get the credit that it deserves.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think on that note, we will conclude there. So do let us know, what did you think of our picks for the most underrated Disney movies? You can let us know on Twitter. Our Twitter is at @ChatDisneyUK.
Or you can find us on Instagram at @ChatDisney.
We are now going to head into the final part of today's episode. Something we haven't done for a while, a little Q&A.
What do you know?
So recently, Tash and I took to Twitter to ask you, because it's been a little bit of time since we did this, if you have any questions about my upcoming Walt Disney World trip. So I'm going this month, which I said at the beginning of the episode today. I can't believe it. I'm so excited that I can finally say that. I've been very spoiled this year with two Disney trips after, you know, COVID and whatever. So there's no holding back. And as lots of you will know, it has been 10 years since I last went. So I was curious to know if there was anything that you, the listener, wanted to know about my trip. And we've had a couple of questions submitted. So Matt at the, well, it's not called the Disney Marvels podcast anymore, actually. So we should probably update that. And the name has actually escaped me at this moment in time, which I'm so sorry, Matt, and I feel really bad. So I'm just going on Twitter just to try and remember what it is. I think it's like Walt Disney Magic Cast or something. Here we go. WD Magicast. I almost got it. So Matt has asked what else I'm going to be doing in the States besides just Disney, which is a very valid question. So what else am I going to be doing? I have yet to decide whether or not I'm going to visit Universal Studios. At the moment, it looks very likely that I probably will, because I love it almost as much as Disney. And I'm also, very interestingly, going to Tampa to watch the Green Bay Packers play against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think that's what they're called. at the Raymond James Stadium. So as you can tell, that's my pick of, you know, how I want to spend my time. I completely butchered the NFL teams there. But that's for Grumpy, my husband. And it was my anniversary gift to him, actually, to say thank you for coming to, well, to say happy anniversary, but also as like a little thank you for flying all the way to Orlando and indulging me in my Disney trip.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a small ask for you to take some time out of your busy Disney schedule and go and do something for Grumpy on this trip.
For sure. I mean, I sound really boring, don't I? Like, I'm literally at Disney pretty much every day. But we are doing a little bit of time out. And we'll probably go to, like, International Drive and do a little bit of the shops. But we are going to be based in Orlando for the whole 2 weeks. We're not going anywhere else in the States. So that's not what this trip is about. Any other questions, Tash? I believe maybe there was one on Instagram.
So Thomas Miller asks, Grumpy is not a Disney fan. What is he most looking forward to and least looking forward to about this trip?
That is a fantastic question. So he's actually not looking forward to just the amount of exhaustion that I think we're going to have. So he is somebody who, you know, he's not afraid of a bit of hard work. He's an early riser. He likes hiking and skiing and all that good stuff. So he's not afraid of a long day. But I think, you know, Monday Magic Kingdom, Tuesday Epcot, Wednesday Hollywood Studios, Thursday Animal Kingdom. I think the intensity of the trip is the thing that he's least looking forward to. And then in terms of the things that he is most looking forward to, obviously a really big one is that NFL game that I just mentioned, which will be awesome. He's also really excited to play golf. He's going to be playing golf in the lake. I think it's the Lake Buena Vista golf course. He wanted to do Magnolia course, golf course, whatever it's called. But unfortunately, it's closed while we're there. And he's also really looking forward to Galaxy's Edge as well, because Rise of the Resistance, I mean, say no more. He's actually a very big Star Wars fan. So yeah, they're the things that he is most looking forward to. And Tash, I believe that you had a question for me as well.
No, no, I just want to know. Well, I mean, I'm going to have a million questions for you when you come back from your trip. But I guess what I want to know is, in terms of merchandise, what is the one thing that you've got your eye on for this trip?
That's a really difficult question. I don't know that there's actually a thing that I've got my eye on in terms of merchandise. Snacks, however, I can definitely tell you what snacks I hope to get. I don't need any more mini ears. Like, I've had an intervention with myself, and it's a little bit like you with the mini plushies. I've got to that point now where I realize that I have a problem. So I'm going to do my absolute best not to buy a pair of mini ears while I'm out there. I've already got the 50th anniversary Walt Disney World ears. So I'm kind of like trying to trick my mind into thinking that they're the ones that I purchased whilst I was there. I don't know, actually. I don't think there is a specific piece of merchandise that I'm planning to get. I'm actually trying to not buy too much. I'm very worried about luggage restrictions on the way home. And I think that I'll probably justify my craving for buying merchandise by buying other people things. Like, I'm sure I'll see something cute for Theo, and I'll probably see something that I want to get my sister. Like, that's how I do this. Like, I see things and I'm like, I shouldn't. So then I gift them, which is really bad. But hey, at least I'm being kind and I'm shopping, which are two of my favorite things.
That's lovely. Well, we won't have that much longer to wait and find out exactly how your trip is and what you do purchase, because I'm sure we will be talking all about this when you return. But for now, that concludes today's episode. As always, we will be back next Monday, same place and same time.
We will indeed. And we're going to be talking all about Disney Plus Day, which has come very early this year. Aren't we all lucky?
Very early indeed. Bye for now.
Bye.
Thank you. Goodbye now. Goodbye. Goodbye. Thank you. Goodbye.